Here's something we've touched on the programme before, but it's so important we're going to deal with it again. Northern Ireland's chief medical officer is warning that action needs to be taken now to prevent millions of people dying unnecessarily from infections each year because of the growing resistance to antibiotics. We are too keen to use antibiotics in this part of the world, or are doctors too keen to actually prescribe them? Let me speak to the chief man, Dr. Michael Maguire. Dr. Maguire, good morning.
Dr. McBride, actually.
Dr. McBride, my head's, you know, and I'm full of airy fairies, Michael. I apologise wholeheartedly.
No apology necessary. I know the feeling. I often feel like that myself on a busy day.
I so often speak to Dr. Michael Maguire on the programme, and I apologise again.
No apology necessary, Frank, whatsoever.
Michael, there's an important point here in relation to antibiotics, and we are using them much too readily.
There is an important point, and I wish we had a simplistic answer as to how we sort this out, because there are many factors, many complex factors at play here. But the one thing we do know is that the World Health Organization regards it as one of the greatest threats to human health and indeed to human medicine worldwide. And it's estimated that if we really don't get to grips with this by 2050, basically we're going to see somewhere in the region of 10 million people a year dying from drug-resistant infections, and that's an increase from an average of about 700,000 each year at present. So this is a significant issue. It's a significant issue for us in the health service right across the UK, Europe, and globally, for those of us who practice medicine, for those who prescribe, doctors, nurses, and pharmacists, and also working with our colleagues in veterinary medicine and in agriculture to reduce the misuse and overuse of antibiotics in those sectors as well.
30% higher use than in other parts of the United Kingdom.
Yes, and as I say in my report, you know, those are numbers, they're figures, and we need to understand what's behind those. We know that in 2016, there were 1.9 million individual prescriptions for antibiotics issued by GPs and dentists here. If we look, that's probably equivalent to about one prescription for an antibiotic for every person living here. And if we look at the equivalent figure for England, that was about 0.7. So 1 versus 0.7, which is, England is obviously 30%, approximately 30% less. But there are a number of ways you can cut this. But whatever way you look at it, our figures are higher. We need to understand why. We need to understand, is that appropriate? Is it because we have higher levels of deprivation, higher levels of ill health? We do see significant variation even across Northern Ireland. And I mean, it's interesting observation, but I'm not sure if it's a causal factor. Areas that are more deprived, we do see higher use of antibiotics. And that could be for a variety of factors. More ill health, could be expectations of people living in those areas, or it could be prescribing practice.
We are, of course, keen to get them, because if we have the problem, be it with our throat or our head or our tooth, and the doctor or the dentist says, I'm going to put you on a course of antibiotics, you always think, oh yes, that's what I want to hear, because the problem will be away in 2 or 3 days.
Well, I think that you've hit on the nub of the problem, which is our expectations as people who use the health service. You know, the old adage, you don't need a pill for every ill. Well, you certainly don't need an antibiotic for every cold, virus or flu. For the vast majority of us, it's important that, you know, we take simple remedies we can buy over the counter, take plenty of fluids and rest, and take the advice of our GP, our practice nurse, or our pharmacist. But certainly we do, as people who use the health service, sometimes have an expectation that would be prescribed an antibiotic. Or if we're taking a sick young child to our doctor, an expectation, if they have a temperature, they need an antibiotic. Now, that isn't always the case. And also, it's very difficult for GPs and other doctors and other practitioners sometimes to know when an antibiotic is indicated, because clearly you don't want to miss an infection that needs an antibiotic or delay using it. And we need to have better diagnostic tests, some of which we're trialling here in GP practices in Northern Ireland, to help GPs and others know when it is appropriate to prescribe an antibiotic and when an antibiotic isn't required. But, you know, we all have a real part to play, because it is about safeguarding antibiotics for this generation and for future generations.
What is the worst case scenario long term?
Well, I mean, I never like to scaremonger, but I think that if we consider what health and health services was like pre-antibiotics, and it wasn't that long ago that penicillin was discovered, I mean, we look into a potential future where those infections that we take for granted, treatment of pneumonia, treatment of a dental abscess you alluded to, you know, the common medical interventions, treatment of cancer with chemotherapy, organ transplantation, treatment of premature, you know, really premature babies, some major surgery like hip surgery, all of which need antibiotics, could become much more high risk for patients. And, you know, if facing into a world without antibiotics or multi-drug resistant bacteria is something which we all should be very concerned about. And we all have a responsibility, both across government, and we're working very closely with colleagues in DEAR. I work very closely with my colleague, the Chief Veterinary Officer, to ensure that in animal health, in agriculture, that we're also reducing and minimizing the use of antibiotics to minimize the sharing of antibiotic resistance between animal health and humans, and actually limiting the development of resistance in the future. But the other thing we really need to do...
Yeah, because you touch on that, as we eat meat from animals that have been treated with antibiotics, that's not going to help us, is it?
No, it's not. And obviously, that's why we're working very closely with colleagues in DEAR, with the Chief Veterinary Officer, with his team, and with the farming sector and veterinary practices to, again, ensure that we only use antibiotics when they're absolutely needed. And again, you know, in veterinary practice, we do need antibiotics to treat infections, and whether it's our domestic pets or when it's in animals destined for the food supply. And there's some...
Does that, by the way, include milk?
It does include meat, milk, because obviously dairy cattle do often, not that I'm a vet, of course, but dairy cattle can get mastitis, which is an inflammation in the udder. Often, again, you know, good animal husbandry can prevent that to some extent. But obviously then there is often sometimes a need to treat with antibiotics. And it's important then that the appropriate time delay between that milk being sold on into the food chain is observed to, again, minimize the risk of any resistant bacteria getting into the into humans.
It's a very, very important topic. The onus is probably on all of us at this present moment in time. Essential research. Dr. McBride, thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Not at all. Thanks a million. Bye.
That's Dr. Michael McBride, Chief Medical Officer. Are you listening, or are you just hoping that you're going to get antibiotics the next time you've got a difficulty? Dr. McBride, urging action to be taken now to prevent millions of people worldwide dying unnecessarily from infections each year due to this growing resistance to antibiotics.